Good morning, church. First off, I wanted to thank you all for being here this morning and everyone that's online as well. Thank you for showing up on this first Sunday of June. And congratulations to our graduates. You've hit a momentous milestone. I think we need another round of applause for such a moment in their lives. Now, I had a few people ask me, Ian, I see that you're preaching today, so what is it that you're going to give us? I think I've gotten to this habit of handing out soda, candy, potato chips, honey, seeds. I've handed out a lot of things to everyone. Now, I did hand out something. Not to everyone, but I'll say this. So some people noticed that I'm dressed as a movie character, Dr. Henry Jones. And if I could have sponsorship for sermons, it would be this sermon, because on June 30th, Indiana Jones 5 is coming out, The Dial of Destiny. And in 6 of the bulletins, I put gift cards for the movie theater so you could go see Indiana Jones and The Dial of Destiny, just in 6 of them. So if you haven't gotten a bulletin, now you know to go through them and find the gift card. Hopefully some people have found them. So I'm hoping, if not, Carol will have to go through them tomorrow, and then Gretchen, Carol, Liz, and I will be the ones going to Indiana Jones 5. I want to talk about my family first, though. Piper and I have played a lot of games. And one of the games that we play is Connect Four. How many are familiar with Connect Four? It's a pretty easy game. There's two players. If you go to my, there we go. It's two players, Piper and myself, and it's just checkers, and you alternate turns. Red goes, then yellow goes, and there's one rule, to just connect four. I remember the commercial from my childhood. You get 3 in a row, you go for one more, go for it, connect four. And then Piper gets frustrated because she can never connect four. Daddy always wins. Now, Piper's 4. You can see ages 7 and up, so it's a little bit unfair. Once Piper starts winning, Connect Four is going in the trash. Because I just can't have that happen. Dr. James Carse he's a professor of history and literature and religion at New York University. He would call this a finite game. It has a set number of players. 2. It has set rules. It has a set endpoint. 4 in a row. Most of what we experience are these finite games. Baseball is finite. 2 teams of 9 players playing 8.5, 9 innings, whoever scores the most runs. Hockey, the Stanley Cup Finals started last night. Vegas won 5-2. That's a finite game. There are rules. There are players. There's winning. Football is a finite game. I can't wait till next month, or 2 months from now, when football starts. Basketball, the NBA Finals have started. That is a finite game. But it's just not games. There's also other things that are finite, where there's certain players and certain rules and a certain condition to meet when you win. World War II is another example of a finite game. But Piper and I don't just have finite games. We have something called infinite games. And it started with, I don't know if you're familiar with the show Bluey, but this is bingo. And in our infinite game, Daddy would hide Bingo somewhere in the house. And it was up to Piper to find Bingo. But she had to do it silently, because Daddy would lay down and try to get a nap while Piper found Bingo. But then Aaron started crawling and walking, and there goes the nap. So I had to change the rules. Now Piper has to sneak past Daddy because Daddy is protecting Bingo. And if Daddy catches Piper, he's going to tickle her to death. And so Aaron tries to distract Daddy. And Mommy tries to distract Daddy from finding Bingo. But we add more rules. Piper has to sneak, and instead of just being quiet, and on top of that, oh my, the floor is lava, so Piper has to hop on the couch and shimmy across the couches. And then she sometimes has to throw pillows and blankets on the floor to just hop over to the next couch. Just so she can't wake up Daddy. Sometimes there's bubbles. Sometimes there's kitties involved. It doesn't matter. Because the goal is not to get Bingo. The goal is just to have fun. The goal is to learn how to play fairly. The goal is to be nice to your sister, even when they're annoying you. That's a hard lesson to learn at 2 and 4. The goal is to have family time. There's no set players. It could be 2 of us. It could be 3 of us. It could be 4 of us. Soon it could be 5 of us. There's no set rules. There's no set end game. It's an infinite game. Business is an infinite game. It's existed for the longest time in the past. It'll exist forevermore into the future. Business is an infinite game. The problem comes, if you go to my next slide, when you have infinite people and finite people in the same game. Because then it doesn't work. I mentioned World War II as a finite game. When you have infinite people and finite people, things go bad. In Vietnam, the United States was playing a finite game. We wanted to win. The Vietnamese wanted to survive. They were playing an infinite game. The Soviets in Afghanistan in the 1980s did the same thing. They were fighting to win. The Mujahideen were fighting to survive. Dare I say the war on terror is the same thing. We're fighting to win. They're fighting to survive. The rules are different if you're an infinite player and if you're a finite player. And some business people realize this. Walt Disney says, we don't make movies to make money. Most companies out there are to make money. But what Walt Disney realized 90 years ago is, they don't make movies to make money. They make money so that they can make more movies. And what's one of the biggest entertainment companies in the world today? Disney. Go to my next slide. Jim Sinegal is the CEO of Costco. Wall Street is the business of making money between now and next Tuesday. But we at Costco are in the business of building an organization, an institution that we hope will be here 50 years from now. And which business has the highest customer satisfaction? Employee satisfaction? It's Costco. When we lived in the DC area, you had Costco, you had Sam's Club. You couldn't find a parking space at Costco. It was wall-to-wall people. You were waiting at the checkout line or to get your gas for half an hour. At Sam's Club, it was a ghost town. No one was there. Same service. They sold the same stuff, but Walmart was thinking finite. Costco was thinking infinite. If you go to my next slide, Microsoft and Apple. Microsoft was at a teaching symposium, an education seminar, and 75% of what Microsoft talked about was how their products were better than the Apple products. This is an education symposium, all about language of the finite. Do you know what Apple's symposium talked about? How our products could help teachers teach, and how our products could help students learn. Do you know where my PC sits? Under my desk. I'm preaching from an iPad with an Apple Watch. I see my iPhone over there. I developed this sermon on a Mac, and I'm gonna go home and turn on my HomePod to listen to music. Apple has the infinite game in mind. And what do I use? Apple products. These businesses, and just in politics and war, realize that there is a difference between the finite game, Connect Four, and the infinite game, Indiana Jones. Sister Tenney, if I could turn to you for our offering. Let us pray. God, please give us a heart of love for Jesus and his sheep. Holy Spirit, show us how to be people that feed your sheep. May we take your command to serve you with all we have seriously. Give us the strength we need to be obedient to your calling. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Kind of warm to preach in a leather coat and a hat, but I like the satchel because then I could just slip my iPad in here and out in the midst of the message. Obviously, I talk about the finite game with rules and set players and an end goal and an infinite game with potentially innumerable set of players and changing rules and no set goal, and it can't have a biblical application, right? That's rhetorical. Go to the next slide. I think it does. I think it does. I think in the church we have people that are finite players and infinite players. And the rules are different for both. But I don't think church is a finite place. It's an infinite place. It existed since Acts 2, and it will exist until Jesus comes back. God's kingdom existed far before that and will exist far beyond. It's an infinite institution. John 21, 15 through 19 says this. I want to set the stage. This is after This is after Jesus has died, been buried, resurrected. He's appeared to the apostles. The apostles have gone back to Lake Tiberias, and they have started fishing again. I can appreciate that. It's fishing season. And they're coming in one night. They haven't caught a lick. And they're rowing in, and Jesus from the shore, "Hey, have you caught anything?" "Nope." "Well, cast her on the other side." And they cast her on the other side, and they start pulling up their nets. And it was so many fish that Peter just decides to abandon them. He realizes who's on the shore. He strips off his clothes and dives into the lake and starts swimming for shore because when they heard the question, they didn't recognize who it was. But after catching the fish, they recognize, Peter recognizes it is Jesus. And he swims to shore. He's running and he hits a fire. I'm going to read into this. The last time Peter smelt fire was when he denied Jesus. And those memories from that smell, I think, hit Peter like a ton of bricks. That his giddy up slowed down. Swimming probably Olympic speeds and running at a sprinter's pace probably slowed down to a crawl when Peter smelt that fire. Jesus was making breakfast for them. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more of these? Now, I'll admit, when I first started preparing for this message, I really wanted to focus on this more of these. What did it mean? Was Jesus asking about the other disciples? I mean, Andrew is Peter's brother, and he's part of the disciples. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's fishing. Peter was a fisherman. Maybe Jesus is asking about fishing. I mean, they're at a lake. I enjoy the lake. Sitting on the shore. I mean, that's going to be a beautiful scene. Maybe he's asking about, I don't know what it is, but quickly evolved from there to the love. I think our English translations lose it here because Jesus asked Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you agape me? The agape love is a self-sacrificing, a total, a complete love. That's what Jesus asked. Jesus used agape, it's infinite language. Peter's response, he said, Yes, Lord, you know that I love philia, you. Philia is not agape love. Philia is brotherly, friendship love. I don't know if you've watched the movie Mr. Peabody and Sherman. It's a recent cartoon, but you know who Mr. Peabody is. He's a dog, academic dog, smartest, you know, could play hundreds of instruments, has PhDs at the wazoo, and he adopts a little boy by the name of Sherman. It was a cartoon many years ago. And Sherman would go, Mr. Peabody, I love you. And Mr. Peabody would say, Sherman, I have a deep regard for you as well. And here, Jesus is doing the same. Peter, do you love me? And Peter's going, Jesus, I have a deep regard for you as well. I don't agape you. I'll go out to the bar for beer and wings with you to watch the fight. Or the NBA Finals, or the Stanley Cup Finals. While Jesus was using infinite language, Peter was using finite language. Now, this is the lawyer in Ian coming out. I would never have responded the way Jesus did. Jesus goes, feed my lambs. Ian would have went, Peter, that's not the question I asked. And then I would have smacked him along one side of the head and go, maybe the water from that swim filled both ears. So I'm going to smack you on the other side of the head to get the water out of your ears. Do you agape me? That's what I ask. I didn't ask you about filio. But Jesus, being much more wiser than I am, just says, feed my lambs. Again, using that infinite language. If we go to the next slide. A second time he asked Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you agape me? Yes, Lord. You know that I filio, you. I wonder if Peter, after smelling that fire, was under-promising so he could over-deliver. Because that fire where Jesus, he denied Jesus three times, was an instance where he over-promised and under-delivered and denied Christ three times. So I think my natural reaction would probably be the same as Peter's here. I would probably want to under-promise and over-deliver. I failed you once, Christ. I failed you twice. I failed you three times. I don't want you to fail you again. Despite Jesus asking about the infinite agape love and Peter responding with the finite filial love, Jesus still uses the infinite language, tend to my sheep. And then a third time, he asks about love. Now, I'm going to go on a little diversion here. Because part of the, every time I prepare a message, I think most of us do, we want to look at the context of what the language is in the original. We consult a lot of commentaries, concordances, dictionaries, histories, articles when we develop these sermons. I think all four of us do that. I'm going to admit something. Most of the commentaries say, don't read into the agape and filio. This change of language, it doesn't matter. John likes to use his synonyms. You know, it makes a better product. You know, if you keep on using the same word over and over in a paper, the teacher's going to mark you down. And that's what John's doing here. He doesn't want the teacher to mark him down by using the same word, so he's using different words. If you're a teacher, I don't know if that's true. That's not the way I approach it, actually. I approach it as a lawyer. If you're using one set of words in one instance and then you're using a different set of words, a different instance, it means different things. In fact, on Friday morning, I had a question. I was dealing with a nuclear medicine problem, and I was dealing with a regulation that said location of use. Well, that means hospital room 2B. And I'm about to answer the question, and wait. Location of use could also mean where on the body. I don't know what this means. So I'm going to have to research this. And in a stroke of brilliance, I go, well, if we're doing nuclear medicine, there has to be an order from the doctor. And the order from the doctor has to say where on the body the treatment's supposed to be. What is that called? So I looked it up. Treatment site. All right, so that's the treatment site, where on the body. Location of use can't be the same as treatment site, so it has to mean something different. It has to be the hospital room. And that's important because in nuclear medicine, if someone spills the chemicals, I need to clean it up. I need to know where it's at. I need to know who was in that room so that they're not impacted by it. And so there was my approach. If it says something different, it means something different. I am going against a lot of the commentaries there, because the commentaries say John uses both agape and filio. John never mixes those in the same story, though. I went back, and in each story, if he uses agape, it's consistently agape through that story. And if he goes to the next story and he uses filio, it's consistently filio in that story. So yes, John uses both, but it's consistently one, except in two places. Here and the death of Lazarus, where Mary and Martha goes, Jesus, the one that you filio, Lazarus has died. And Jesus was sad because he agape'd the family. I think I can make that distinction there, that that's actually quoting someone. So in no instance do we have love being moved back and forth, except here. So it's significant for me that Jesus was talking about infinite language, but Peter was talking finite language. And I think this portion of the verse buttresses that for me. Simon, son of John, do you, this is Jesus asking, But Jesus asked, do you philio me this third time? Peter was hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? I don't think it was asking three times. Three is a pretty significant number. After all, Peter denied Jesus three times. I think the hurt was because Jesus didn't ask if he agape'd Jesus. He asked if he philio Jesus. That was the source of hurt by Peter. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Again, using that infinite language. Yesterday, we had a sprinkle for our baby boy. You know, a shower, a baby shower, you get all the stuff. And the sprinkle is like, you don't get as much stuff because you have everything already. Well, we don't because we have two girls. So we had a sprinkle, and things were winding down. And I was like, well, I have to run to church. I need to prepare once more. And someone asked, well, didn't you prepare last night? Well, yeah, I did. But I got to prepare tonight. And I'm going to prepare tomorrow morning. How much time do you put into this? Common phrase saying is, for every minute that I'm talking, I probably dedicate an hour to preparation. And I could look at Gretchen or Allie and Liz and see if it's probably about true. About a minute of speaking is an hour of prep time. And this person goes, that's too long. Shouldn't you already know this? It's like, you know the Bible? Well, yeah, I know the Bible. Yeah, like, I know the Bible, but I don't know the Bible to that extent. Well, that's just too long. And it nagged me for the last 18 hours. And I realized what the issue was. Because we all have hobbies. This person has hobbies. They dedicate thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, tens of hours of time to. And this is what I dedicate it to. And I realized the issue. They go to church. They call themselves a Christian. But they have a finite thinking about this is. And that was the source of my discomfort, because while they had a finite thinking of this, I have an infinite thinking of this. It's not a time commitment. It's a lifestyle commitment. It's not just a place to go on Sunday. It's a family that I'm part of every single day. It's not giving or charitable contributions. It's getting the kingdom of God further out there. I think in my finite thinking with the pandemic, I think, you know, hey, we with churches not meeting, we got to close down. We got to figure out what to do. And in my finite thinking, I think, oh, we got to do Facebook Live or YouTube Live, live stream this stuff so everyone could see this. That's my finite thinking. In the last couple of weeks, I've came across an article. Do you know where the largest growing churches in the world are? Online in Iran. That's what the pandemic did. It has opened up the gospel of Christ to places where it never before was accessible. Why? Because people could watch it on Facebook, when before, they would have to sneak a preacher in. That's what the pandemic did. Now, thousands of people died. I'm not sugarcoating what the pandemic did. But the growth in the church because of it is amazing. But you only see it when we stop thinking finite and start thinking infinitely. Jesus drives it home with Peter. If you go to the next slide. Remember, agape love is that self-sacrificing, complete, total love. Peter's has only been doing this friendship love. Very truly, I tell you, when you were young, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death, martyrdom, a complete, total, agape love that Peter will have for Christ, by which he would glorify God. After this, he, Jesus, said to Peter, "Follow me." That is why we at church need to start thinking infinitely and not finite. Not be constrained by rules, but think about the principles going forward. To think about Christ telling Peter three times to feed or tend to his sheep. It's not about membership growing. It's about discipleship making. It's not about how many services we have. It's about how we can progress the kingdom of God in this community and around the world. It's not finite thinking that will get us to move forward. It's infinite thinking that will. Amen.